Welcome to What the Magic, a podcast where we explore everything in this world, human, existential, alien, galactic, energy, intuitive, and all things weird. Welcome to this week's episode.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Okay, so I want to just thank everybody for bearing with me. We have been on hiatus for a very long time, since February. So that's what, like 6 fucking months. I suck. But the other thing too is there's been a lot going on, and I am super excited to kind of revamp this podcast and bring you guys what I'm going to affectionately term season 3, where we're going to be talking about like the story of healing journeys, kind of working through different things after leaving different types of containers, how we got to where we are, and all of that jazz. And we're going to have lots of fun with it. So on this very special episode and this like beginning of the fucking season, we have my really good friend, Mitzi. And she runs, what is it? Healing with Mitzi Denise?
That's Healing Alchemy. Healing Alchemy.
Which is super duper exciting. So I want to thank you so much for hopping on, Mitzi, because I know a good chunk of your story and it's fucking wild.
Yes. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Okay. So I want to start with like, I know you've been in meta and spirituality for a while. So like what started kind of you on that journey into meta?
My awakening began 20 plus years ago. It was like a long time. I'm one of the originals. And I remember I had this light bulb moment and everything shifted. And in the next 2 years following that, I read more than 400 books. I was trying to absorb and digest and grab everything that I could. Now you have to remember that the energies were a lot different back then than they are now. So it took me a long time to sort of sludge my way through this. But I had my own healing to do. There was some sexual abuse trauma I had to work through, and I found the person to help me through that. And he also was connected in the spiritual world. And sort of that was the moment when I did a deeper dive into the meta community and all things spiritual and opening and exploring and all of that. So, and that only happened probably, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago now. I lose track of time, but I had to do a lot of healing to get to the point that I could even look at that. And so that was a big part of my story.
So when you started this journey, did you kind of like start with like, I know some people have like their little kind of like rivers and niches in. Did you start with like just general energy work, or did you start with something like Reiki or shamanism, or was it just kind of like a clusterfuck of all the things?
Well, when I started reading books, I read them on every single topic you can imagine. Everything that was out there, I read it. And I actually got to a point where I was irritated because there was no new material out there. So I think that was my way of exposing myself to everything to figure out what I wanted to do. And everything intrigued me. But how I really got into the energy work was through crystal healing. And I took a long time to find the right teacher. And I became certified in crystal resonance therapy. And at the time, I tried to make a business out of that, but I realized now it was just a stepping stone to what I'm doing now. But that was my first, like, crystals have consciousness, and all of the healing that they're here to do can help you with, and that sort of thing. So that's kind of how I got into it. Although I have done all kinds of shamanism stuff, I've had my own healing journeys with shamans, and like I said, everything interests me.
I have never really, like, I know crystal healing, like, cognitively, like, I'm like, yeah, crystal healing's totally a thing. I'd love to put a crystal on my fucking chest and just, like, take a fucking nap. But, like, I often forget that there are actual, like, courses on crystal healing and, like, certifications with crystal healing and all of this stuff. So, like, when did you start to transition out of the crystal healing into, like, other ways of doing healing?
So the certification in crystal healing was, maybe 4 years ago. Honestly, I have lost time, and I are not friends. I can't, it's like, I'm not tethered to it. So I don't know. So after that, I was ready to grow. I was ready to do more. And I actually, what was fueling this was my own healing. I still had some layers that I needed to explore and heal. And so I kept searching for ways to do that and kept trying new things. And I would absorb it and either it would work or it wouldn't work, or it would give me the next layer, the next data. And then I would search for more. So, and I came across this modality that I jumped into, and actually that sort of solidified, it actually gave structure to mm-hmm. everything that I was playing with. And I just needed the structure to be able to organize it better. So
when you talk about this modality, is this the modality where we met, or is this a yes, different modality?
That's okay. The modality that where we met.
Right. So that was two years ago?
Maybe. Honestly, I don't.
Trying to remember like the timeline of things.
Two, maybe three, somewhere around there.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. So like when you stepped into that modality, like what kind of led you to that modality? Because I know you said that you had been on a big journey, like kind of exploring anything and everything. So what kind of was the funnel that led you to that particular structure?
That's a really good question. I think I was looking for a way to trust myself. Like I kept looking outside of self for the answers. And even through this whole course that I took, I mean, I learned a lot of things. I actually got some answers for why the walk-in situation. I had actually back 20 years ago, I had come across some books on walk-ins. So I was already in my awareness there, but I didn't have the right people yet to help me understand this. So long story short, there was something that happened by being associated with this modality that you and I met that I think I had a contract to do this, to get to this particular place so that I could experience this particular thing.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who practices metta and is into spiritual shit, my least favorite phrase that I've heard my entire life is everything happens for a reason, right? Fucking hate that phrase, but like, it's fucking true, right?
I know, right?
The other way that I've heard it is, oh, everything has a context and you just don't know what that context is until you experience the context.
Yeah.
Like I look at that and I'm like, motherfucker. But yeah, I think very much we kind of go through these things and we experience things for those fucking reasons, whether it be Akashic cords, contracts, or however you look at energy work. Because I think after that particular event, you and I have had like a very interesting diversion in how we look at energy work, because I know that I don't look at things with like cords and contracts and Akashic records anymore.
Interesting.
I look at them more as like parallel timelines that are converging.
Oh, well, that's an interesting theory. I don't think I knew that about you.
So it's been a while since we caught up, which is kind of like crazy to think about. But one of the things that I've been playing with, especially over the last couple months, is quantum energy and quantum consciousness energy and how, right? I live by like Schrodinger's fucking theory, like right now with like my practice. Like one of the things that I'm constantly playing with is time is our fourth dimension, right? So if everybody's talking about like getting us to a fourth dimensional reality, dudes, we fucking live in it already. So like, right. Let's let that go, because time is our fourth dimension. And because I have this whole fucking theory, like we're going to go into it real fucking quick. So
okay.
Because time is dimensional, right? Length, width, height, all of that stuff in the three dimensions tends to have a very linear perspective, right? We can map it out. Time, however, we want to try and make it linear because everything else in existence is linear, but time is co-current. So what happened to us years ago is still happening to us.
I am with you on the time not being linear. Our brain is linear and we want to put everything into linear right. consciousness. And I agree that things are all what we label as past, present, and future it's actually all happening simultaneously. So if I'm following right. your thread, are you saying, like, when I use the term contract, I had a contract to meet this person, be in this particular container, and have to get to this particular place where I had this experience? You're saying it was a parallel timeline, like converging? Mm-hmm. Well, I can get behind that.
Like, so I've been playing, like, I've gone back to, like, when I was in 11th grade, I wrote a term paper on multi-world theory and parallel universes because I was that fucking nerd.
That's wild.
But I've been going back to reading theoretical physicists like Michio Kaku and, like, reading Neil deGrasse Tyson and a lot of, like, astrophysics, quantum physics, and, like, theoretical physics. And what I'm noticing is that that particular way of looking at the world aligns very much with the way that a lot of people practice energy work, right? Like science catching up to spirituality, right? We see this time and time again with ancient cultures, their mythology becoming science and things like that. So our spiritual work, science is starting to, like, put that shit together.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm of the opinion that everything is both happening and not happening at the exact same time. So right now, I'm not experiencing that event, but I'm also still experiencing that event. And in the future, I will still be experiencing the event, but I'm going to have very different perspectives on it because of the way that time shifts and changes and the way that time starts to layer and, like, Jeremy, bear me that shit, right? It's all
yeah, so what happens to, like, the integration part of that? So when you say that you're going to, in the future, you will continue to be experiencing it, does that not allow then for integration and you being different in the future because of
what
the experience?
If integration is just acknowledging that it's constantly happening and that the experience has the context for where we are now, right? Because my experience now and my, like, right now is going to provide context for what I experience in the future. And the future will provide a context for what I'm experiencing now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
integration is, for me, is just context for the experience, right? And the more I look back at the experience, the more I understand it and the more I integrate that experience, right? So the more I actually converge with that timeline is the more I integrate it. And that's kind of the way that I've been looking at things.
That's really wild. I mean, there's parts of it I really like. There's other parts I got to sit with for a little bit. But, you know, something wild that's come out of this experience for me is now, because during that experience, I experienced fractal consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So now I am exploring that more than I didn't even know what it was before. And now it's fascinating to me, amazing, interesting, intriguing, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm currently, I haven't done the lessons part of that, but I do have that book on my Kindle.
Yes.
But I haven't read it yet. But, like, I've talked to the person who teaches this fractal consciousness stuff. And she was like, I feel like my fractal consciousness is missing something. I said, what's it got so far? She was like listing all of the stuff. And I was like, where's time? And she goes, what? I was like, where's time? She's like, oh my God, I'm missing time. And I was like, yeah, that's all you're missing. And she's like, wait, explain to me your process and how you got to time. And so we had a really cool discussion about that kind of stuff because she was like, I forgot that time also has an energetic consciousness.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, absolutely. So then we had a really fun chat and, like, went totally nerds about all of that stuff because she's also really into, like, the quantum physics and all of that shit. Yes. And, like, she's got that fucking engineering brain and she's brilliant.
Yes, but can't do this. At least I couldn't do this from reading the book alone. Oh my God. The book is, and she purposely didn't put a lot of stuff in the book, but, like, I needed the interaction and it's a wild, and it was like wrapping my brain around it. It was almost painful at times because I could feel it stretching and morphing. And as I'm trying to wrap my head around these new ideas, which I love the expansion and the growing and the being something new.
Yeah. So that's kind of like my next thing to work on, but I've got to finish my deck first.
right.
I legitimately gave myself till the end of the month because then I'm going to open that shit up for pre-orders and I'm not even done with it, Mitzi. Like, I'm not even half done with it, but
I thought you were. I thought you were halfway at least.
Well, I'm like half done with all the image edits. I'm not half done with all the channeled messages.
Girl, you just gotta
I gotta buckle down. Like, yeah, my goal is by the end of this week, all of the images are gonna be done, and by the end of next week, all of the channeled messages are gonna be done. Then it's proofread off to the fucking market, and we're fucking done.
Like, yay!
And then we're so like, and the crazy thing is, so I want to kind of go back to this kind of like experience that you had, because I think it's kind of what set us both up for where we are now, and it's definitely, I think, changed. I don't want to say the trajectory, but I'm going to say the trajectory of both of our journeys. Like, it's shifted a lot. Well, maybe not changed, but it's made different things apparent.
Yes. And let me preface this by saying the experience, like, people have asked me, would you have changed? Would you do it again? Mm-hmm. And unequivocally, yes, I would have this experience again. For me, it has helped me step in to everything that I am and step into who, what I'm here to do, who I'm here to serve, how I'm to help them, mm-hmm. all of that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So where should we start?
So let's kind of use, like, I want to kind of like, kind of use my deck as kind of like a way of going into this.
Okay.
Because fun fact, at the time my deck was completely ready and I was going to be sending it to publishers after I got back from that particular event.
So when you got back?
When I got back, I looked at everything and I realized that the energy was so completely off with it, I had to completely redo it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So it's really interesting kind of stepping out after that particular experience, stepping out of the community that led to that experience, and then realizing that I actually, instead of having 60 collectives that wanted to be in the deck, actually have 90 that are going to be in the deck. Awesome. And some of those collectives were labeled as holographic, dangerous, and all of that stuff. And now after stepping out and learning to trust my own intuition, my own abilities, and my own self again, I'm like, yeah, fuck it. This person's cool. Right. So I want to kind of talk about this modality before we go into kind of your experience, because okay. I think one of the things that's really amazing about this modality and is that it has this really amazing way of bringing a lot of energetic practices together, right? It starts to combine like the Akashic records and court and contract work and what I call light meridians, right? The energy lines in our body, it brings all of it together in a really amazing way that helps us start to bring the body along with our energy healing. And the modality in and of itself can be super supportive. I think personally, after, you know, mentoring that modality, working with it and kind of being a practitioner with it for a few years, I think it's personally missing like some psychoeducational parts of it to truly address trauma. But other than that, I think it's absolutely amazing. And it has this potential to do amazing accelerations as you're working with the energy that goes through the body. And so let's set the scene. So okay. We're going to set the scene. We are in a group setting, right? With a bunch of people who have been learning this modality. The day that this fucking shit happens, we are all going through, what was it? I think it was like, we were talking about cranial sacral work.
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we had a moment earlier in the day where I had started playing what I like to call the question game. And I remember looking at you and saying, hey, Mitzi, what consciousness level, I think the term I used then was dimension, but what consciousness level can you read up until? And I remember you sitting back and going, I don't fucking know. And just kind of like leaning back in your chair, and every chance you got, you're like, is it this? And I was like, I don't know, is it? And then, right, you're going through, you're doing your sessions and all of that stuff. And then you're the one on the table.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that experience for you, because I know when we started this group event, you had mentioned that one of the things you had really wanted to experience was being able to let all of the shit go.
So I remember when we were sitting there and you were talking about what dimensions I can read. And I remember it a little differently. I remember me saying one and you said, no, higher. And then I felt into it a little more. And I can't remember the numbers now, although I know I wrote it down somewhere. And then I felt into it some more, gave a different answer, and you kind of nodded yes. So I remember this. It's a funny thing, as I have found in my own journey that when something is going to be big for me, or something is sort of in alignment that is going to happen, I don't focus on it much. It's just like, oh yeah, got that new, it's going to be great. And I remember coming up to this, that that's the feeling I was having towards this whole thing. It's like, I didn't really, yeah, it's done. I didn't sweat it. I was just going to show up. So I show up and I'm really interested in putting all of the last pieces to all of this structure, like I said before. And I remember being on the table and I remember you coming up, and you were on my left side. Somebody else was on my right side. And I start having all of these sensations go through my body, like, I don't even know, waves of energy. And it was really wild and really crazy. And then it just went from there. So I do you want me to tell you just what I experienced?
I would love to hear like your side of what experience you experienced. Cause when I was on like your side and I was running the energy, I remember looking at you and being like, Mitzi, my tongue itches. And I remember you looking up at me and being like, and like, you, I'm like just sitting there running the energy and you're like, this feels really cool. Like, it feels like things going. And then my tongue started itching like a motherfucker. And like, that is typically my sign that light language is about to be coming through, because light language makes my mouth itch. I don't know why, but it does. And I remember looking at you and being like, Mitzi, it's really itchy. And you're like, okay, what does that mean? I was like, it's just really fucking itchy. And she goes, Kelly. And you looked at me and you're like, Kelly, I don't understand. And I was like, okay. And I like, I remember pulling my hands off of your body and looking at you and being like, if I run this next energy with the light language that comes through, it's gonna be fucking big. And you're like, uh-huh. And I was like, are you sure you want this? And you just looked up at me and you said, yeah, fuck it, do it. And so I put my hands back down. We started running the energy. I said the light language, and then you went.
It was the light language that did it for me. I remember that. I remember it was like gold. I was seeing gold colors. I felt, actually, now that I'm thinking about this, it reminded me of Egypt somehow. So let me preface this. Let me stop for a second. A year prior, 10 months prior to this point, I had been in Egypt. I had been feeling called to go to Egypt for years and I couldn't make it happen. I finally made it happen. I went there and I had what I now believe was sort of a mini activation or priming with Sekhmet, where I went before the statue and I just sort of went quiet for 3 hours as I was processing all this stuff. So fast forward, I'm on the table. You're speaking this light language that feels like liquid gold to me. I remember it felt warm and bubbly and amazing. And it was just like, whoosh, I was gone. And I know that a lot of weird things happened with my body. I know that I was saying stuff like, well, what the fuck is happening, Kelly? And I know that that freaked people out, but I wasn't freaked out. It was almost like I was observing and trying to human with what was happening and being mildly amused that these things were happening with my body that couldn't, it was like I was in my body, but not in my body. And I know now that I wasn't, but observing this was a wild, awesome, orgasmic experience.
I remember you went up and then your body just fucking shook. Like, you just went like, and I was like, oh my God, I just fucking killed her. Like, I ran this activation. I just killed Mitzi. Like, that was the thought in my head. I was like, oh my God, I just killed her. And so I remember very calmly looking at everybody and being like, okay, we're all going to take a deep breath. And we're going to get to work. And I walked over to your head and I put my hands on your shoulder. And the moment I put my hands on your shoulder, you tilted your head back and like your eyes were closed. So it was like you were tilting your head back to look at me, but you weren't looking at me. And then you went, "What the fuck is happening?" And I went, "I don't fucking know." I was like, "I don't fucking know what's happening." I was like, "Okay, I know you're not dead because you just asked me a question. We're good to go." So then I know in my head, I was like, "Okay, Mitzi is not here. Like Mitzi's here, but Mitzi's not here. Like you're cognitive, you're talking to me, you're processing. Like we're good." I don't know. It was like, I remember sitting there and being like, "She's not here. She needs a way to get back." That was my thought in my head. And I was like, "Okay, how the fuck do I start to build that?" And so that was when I was like, "You come here." And then I called all of these people over to like go and put their hands on your body just to compress, because I knew your nerves were firing like fucking crazy. Like I knew you couldn't feel it, but your nerves were just
like, yes,
it was insane to witness. And so I was like, "Do I have someone lay on top of Mitzi?" No, that's not okay. So I was like, "Okay, we're all going to put pressure down." And I remember just very gently running energy through your body to pull your human a little bit closer to where you were. But tell me a little bit about that experience. Like when I started running the energy, what did that feel like?
It's kind of all a blur to me. I will say that another person that was at this place with us came up to me later and told me, so she had been working on somebody in a different room. She was standing up working on somebody on the table, and she felt, so this must have been the moment I went up and out or experienced this acceleration. Mm-hmm. Like she felt like a cannon shot of energy that hit her and like knocked her off and like, what's happening? And then that was like her cue to come. She also told me later that she wasn't going to come to this event. Mm-hmm. And she got this, the strong message, get your butt there, you're going to be needed. And she actually helped me. Hold on 1 second. Don't know what that's about. What I remember knowing on this, like this super calm level that I was experiencing, like that you were freaked out. I could sense you behind me, and I was holding somebody's hand to the right of me. Mm-hmm. There might've been a couple different people. And I remember them telling me later that they thought I broke their hands, their fingers, because I was squeezing so hard. The thing for me is it was just like bliss. It was so magical, and it would take me a long time to process everything.
Right.
But I actually didn't want to come back.
Oh, I know you didn't.
And you kept saying, "Come on, you got to come back." And I'm like, so when we were talking about time before, I felt like I had slipped into this place where there was no time. And I wanted to hang out in what felt like it could be hours of human time, but it was passing in like a second or 5 seconds of the space that I was in. And I have memories of some point somebody got behind me, was sort of supporting me, and I was super sweaty. And I was slightly aware that everybody around me was freaking out. And I was trying to find a way to say, "You guys should experience this. This is really fucking awesome. Whatever, this is so awesome." And I have memories of like when I know that you tried to bring me down many, many times, and I would get to some certain level and I would like, don't want to do that.
It was like every time I would get you almost back, like I was like, "Okay, Mitzi, you don't have to totally come back, but I need you to be able to bridge where you are and still be human." And you, I remember saying that and you being, "No, I'm not doing that." And I was like, "Okay." I was like, "How can I get you to come back?" And you're like, "I don't want to come back." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. Like, I can feel that you don't want to come back." I was like, "But I need you to come back." And you're like, "No." Like,
flat out. I remember us talking about birthing a world or creating a world. Mm-hmm. And that's how you got me to focus on it. like a nebula or something where, and you sort of explained that I had exploded all of this stuff and somehow got me to buy into that or focus on that and use that.
The way I remember getting you to come back was saying, Mitzi, I know you don't want to be human anymore and you're seeing your full self. Yes. I remember saying that. I said, Mitzi, I know you're seeing you as you all across the world. I was like, you are this beautiful shining nebula and that's amazing, but your nebula doesn't fit in your body. You can't bring it with you, but you can get to it anytime. And I remember once I said that, you're like, okay. And you came back into your body, like in as far as you were willing to come back into your body at that point, because you were not willing to like come all the way back in. And I remember like having you come in, you finally opened your eyes, your muscles stopped contracting and you finally like relaxed. And the crazy thing was when I looked at your eyes, I knew you were behind one of them and out from behind the other one. It was like you were half in, half out. And I remember being like, how in the fuck am I going to fucking make sure Mitzi gets some fucking sleep tonight? Like, because at that point it was midnight and we had been trying to get you back into your body for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you would not come back. And everybody's like, what's wrong with Mitzi? What's wrong with Mitzi? And I was like, there's nothing wrong with Mitzi. Mitzi's fucking fine now. Like, we had gotten your body to calm down. The nerves weren't going. Your hormones weren't surging. Like, you were, your body was okay at that point. You just mentally and energetically were like, fuck that shit. You're like, I'm not fucking.
Yeah. I remember sitting and people were feeding me chocolate. And I remember I was not interested in sleeping. I had no concept of what time it was. And I was also aware that I was talking weird and I was acting weird. And I would say things that I think most people thought were blunt or not appropriate. And I was just being very matter of fact. And I do know this whole situation did mess with my hormones, which I would find out several months later that it's been a journey from that standpoint. But in that moment, I do remember I went home to a different place. Mm-hmm. Some people were going to watch over me for the night. And that was an experience. I remember looking at the ceiling fan and seeing like a galaxy happening up there and wanting to go there and trying to figure out how I could get outside. And I mean, it was like, I never did acid, but I imagine that if I did, this is what it would feel like. Like it was the most bizarre. And yet I was so real at the same time. And so like all of the things that we as humans put on and cover ourselves up with, they were just gone. They were shredded. They were, had fallen away. And it was, it was an amazing, amazing experience.
I remember like the ceiling fan thing. I got a call when you did that. Hey, I don't know what's going on, but Mitzi just jolted in bed and just tried to like, they didn't say you tried to escape, but like the tone was Mitzi's trying to fucking escape. And I was like, okay. I was like, can you talk to her and remind her that, that like, even though she doesn't feel human right now, her human needs to sleep. And she's like, I can try. And so I hear this person on the other end, like trying to convince you to lay back down in bed and go back to sleep. And finally she got you to lay down. And I think that was all she was able to do was you just laid down.
Yeah, it took some doing because I wasn't interested in that. And actually, I was doing light language. This event triggered my light language abilities. And I was doing it with my hands and I was talking it. And it was like this beautiful language. I didn't even know what was happening. It was just like, it was almost like I was embodying something else or I was more full than I had ever been before. Well, certainly in this lifetime. But I also remember this innate curiosity that was sparked. And when I looked at the window, I thought, how can I get out the window? I mean, I didn't know it was a window. I lost my ability to use human words. For a while, I didn't know what things were. I didn't know what my hands or my feet were, but It was like they were irrelevant. I could move my appendages, but I didn't need to know what the name was. But I wanted to figure out how to fly and get out the window or just go explore. And I was very curious about everything. And I know that I was acting weird. I know I was. And I would look at these people and they would say, Mitzi, it's so-and-so. They would say their name. And I know that, but I was like, I was 5,000 miles ahead in the conversation. I was already gone beyond. We were having different conversations that they weren't aware of. Yeah, I imagine that they were pretty freaked out, as I know some other people were. And I will say, the next day when we came back, I don't know if I got any sleep that night, but I didn't. It's like I didn't matter. I didn't need it.
And yeah, you were like wide a fucking wake. You're like,
I know.
You walked in. I think I handed you a banana, and you looked at me, and you looked at the banana, and just like handed it back to me, and I was like. So I opened it and I handed it back to you. And then you just sat there, you took a bite of the banana, and then you just sat down. Like you just sat down and slowly chewing the banana. And I remember sitting next to you and being like, okay, Mitzi, we're going to start with you on the table today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember you turning and looking at me and being like, why? I'm fine. And I was like, here? No. Here? Right. Yes.
Right.
I was like, here? Also no. And you looked at me and you go, here? And I said, yeah. And you're like, oh, like, well, you agreed to be on the table, but like you did not want to be on the table.
Well, I remember at some point, maybe it wasn't you, it was somebody else came to sit beside me, and I could, the minute I walked in that room, like the whole place, the event we were at, I could feel the fear. Oh my God. It was just radiating off people. And then like judgment and all kinds of, and it was really a difficult thing for me to process. I didn't understand it. And then that person that I told you before who'd gotten the message to get there, I think she came up next to me and sat next to me. And I said, why is everybody afraid? Or something to that effect. And she's like, this, you know, they're scared. Don't pay them any mind. And you know, but it was like when I walked into that place, it was like this wall hit me, and it was a really, it was really a shitty thing actually to feel. Yeah, there's parts about that, I mean, people were afraid to talk to me, and then there's part of me that's also going, people, I don't know what the fuck has happened here. I am trying to process this. I need a little help. And there were, I would say about half of the group was open to that, and half of the group was scared and shut off. So
I think one of the things that, like, when I look at that, like, I remember after we got you off of the table the night before, and I remember you looking at me, and I remember I knew I was freaked the fuck out, but like when I was working on you, it was like I could totally push the fear away because I knew I had to, like, I didn't want to call myself a guide, but I felt like a shepherd. Like I felt like I had to be there to like help shepherd you through part of the process. And I remember afterwards just sitting back, and cognitively I was okay, but my body was shaking. And I was like, okay. And I remember like being like, how in the fuck am I going to explain this? And so I was like, how do I explain this? How do I explain this? And so I remember the message that I sent was like, hey, Mitzi just had a really big activation. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to work with her in the morning. Chances are we're probably going to have her on the table while everybody else is doing like other stuff. And I remember sending that message and being like, okay, tomorrow morning, whatever it is that I am experiencing in my body right now needs to go the fuck away because I need to like fucking step forward and keep pushing. Like, I remember that being my thought. And I remember you shoving a fucking truffle in your mouth, like a chocolate truffle into your mouth, popping it into one cheek, looking at me and being like, that was fucking awesome. Can we do it again? And I looked at you and I was like, no, we cannot.
I remember explicitly saying to you, thank you. And basically, don't beat yourself up. Don't be hard on yourself, because I, on some level, whether you want to term it contracts or merging timelines or whatever, you were part of this equation. You had to play a role, and that's what I had agreed to do. You had agreed to do this so that I could experience this. So I was totally grateful. And I still remember that sitting there that night, and you guys are like, everybody is like with these big eyes, like looking at me, afraid to touch me, afraid that I was, and I'm just like, yeah, okay. Like, what's next?
I remember going up to you, like putting my hand on the shoulder and being like, Mitzi, I need you to go stay with someone else tonight. And you said, no, I'm okay. I can do, like, I can be by myself. And I said, Mitzi, I'm not asking you this for you. I was like, I have a feeling you're going to be totally fine if you go on your own. And I remember you looking at me and being like, damn straight. And I was like, but for the sake of my sanity, would you please go with these other people? And you're like, only because you asked.
Yeah.
Like, that was the only way I could get you to agree to do that. Cause like, that was the only way I felt comfortable sending you anywhere. And I was like, if she doesn't go with them, she's coming back to my fucking hotel room. She's crashing on the goddamn couch. Like, that was my thought process. If you said no to them, you were going to come hang out with me for the entire night and I wasn't going to sleep. We were going to stay up and try and like fucking go through shit together. But at the same time, I was like,
I remember being stubborn about it. And I remember thinking that I could get in my car, which I could not have. And I remember sort of acquiescing at the end, like, okay, whatever. I just like, I'm done fighting. Okay, let's go. And that was wild.
It was a wild experience, I think, on both of our sides in two very different ways. Because that was the first, like, I had done like smaller activations with people before, and I had had people on my table go through like language activations. But yours was an entirely new level. And I remember sitting in my hotel room after that, giving myself the space to like process and like let my human decompress. Like, I remember getting back to my hotel room, sitting down, looking at the person I was sharing my room with and bursting into tears. And I remember them looking at me and being like, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. I was like, that was just really fucking big. And before we had done that activation with you, that huge acceleration, I had like a QHHT session, like two QHHT sessions, like the night before and the night before that, like taking me to this lifetime where I was doing this big activation work and taking me to where I was like helping craft like formulas and things for the universe. And then we got on that table and I went, like, there was a part of me that knew that whatever the hell we were going to do was going to change, like, the path that we were going to walk down, like, the path that we thought we were going to walk down forever. And I was like, if I do this, there's no going back. That was my thought. And then the next morning when we got you on the table and we got you laying down and we were using the tuning forks and running the energy through, and we got you, I'm going to say relatively human, like, you weren't totally human, but you were more present. Like, you could use your words, you could contextualize things in the human experience, but you weren't thinking through the human experience.
No, that actually took quite a while.
I remember, like, I felt pretty good about where you were at that day. And it was almost like I knew you were never going to be the Mitzi that showed up to the event, but I had a feeling that walking away after we had you settled in that way, like, you were going to be okay. And then I think the things that started to, it was never like your behavior that got me like frustrated for the rest of the event, but it was when people started to say that you could try different things with your activation where it completely pulled you totally out of your body again. Like, those were the moments. I don't remember any,
were they talking to you? They weren't talking to me.
No, I remember them looking at you and telling you that you had the light codes now to help dismantle different pieces of like tech and like antigens and things like that. And I remember that conversation happened right after we'd had you on the table and you were relatively you again. And I'm going to use that as relatively you again. Like, you were grounded back in who you were. And then I remember you kind of taking that breath, hearing that, and then going into your session and doing that work. And when you walked up back out again, you were not thinking or contextualizing things in a human experience anymore. You were doing it in the light language. And I was like, fuck, now I gotta fucking get her back into the human experience. And I remember thinking that every time you went into a session, and I was like, how in the fuck are we gonna get Mitzi home? Like, how are we gonna do this? How are we gonna make this work? And all of that stuff. And I remember just like, I broke Mitzi. Like those were the thoughts that continually went through my head was I broke Mitzi. I messed up. I'm like all of this stuff. And then I remember I had to leave before like the event before everybody else because my flight was earlier. And I remember sitting on the plane being like, shit's gonna, like something's gonna happen. Like shit's gonna hit the fan. I'm gonna have to figure out something new. Like my life just changed. Like I remember thinking that on the plane.
Well, I got a lot to say about this. So first of all, the fact that I now had the ability to unwind like the vax, right? That was one of the things that showed up. That was an awesome experience for that, for me to step into that and just suddenly see and know, understand how it happens in the human body and do that work. And the light link, that's when the light language first came out. And I remember one of the other people, the facilitator sitting next to me, helping work on this too. And she just sort of looked at me sideways and I just went with it. Like it's coming out. I loved all of that. I hear what you're saying that it was very difficult, or let me say it this way. The boundary was very slippery for me. I could easily slide right back into that and be gone and was fascinated with all of the stuff I was seeing and know how, what I knew. I will say, I am sorry that you had to, that you felt that you broke me or that you in any way, and I know that you've gone through a lot of shit as a result of that. And for that, I'm deeply sorry. That was never my intent. And I think that was what I was trying to convey to you that night that happened, that we had this agreement. It's awesome. You're fine. Right. Don't think you did anything wrong. I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. And I actually mean that. Today, I still would do it over in a heartbeat. I feel like it was what I needed to do to catapult me into this place where I am now. It was part of my plan. I will say the only thing that I regret's not the right word, take issue with maybe, is I should not have been allowed to get in my car. And I know and drive home. So I drove there. It was 800 miles and it took me 2 days to drive out there. And it took me 3 days to get home. And it was just a clusterfuck. I remember I was only 5 minutes down the road of starting my drive home. And this song came on. So I got my hands on the wheels and this song comes on and I take my right hand off and I start doing light language. And then I take my left hand off and I'm doing light language with that. And then I look down and I see, it registers that the car in front of me has hit its brakes. I'm like, oh my God. And I slammed on the brakes. I was only 5 minutes down the road. And it was, that part was a cluster. That part I would, that was the only thing that I would do different out of the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think like looking back on it, like those were my thoughts at the time, but like afterwards talking to you after everything went down and all of that stuff, like I don't know that I would change what happened.
Yeah, like, me either.
Not for a fucking second. Like I don't know that I would change what happened. Like the experience afterwards and like all of the shit that came out of it, like does it suck ass? Absolutely, right? Did it like leave me with trauma and scars and all of that stuff? Yes. But I think the other thing too was it was so important for me to experience all of that and see how that is, because that's definitely shaped, it shaped how I run my business now. It shapes how I communicate with other people. It shapes like everything I am now is shaped by that experience, and it provides context for why I do things. And it's also made me, I would say, a lot more passionate about the way that I do things. And it's definitely shown me, one, my strengths and where I'm not willing to put up with certain types of behaviors or experiences. Like I know that like there's things that I'm not going to fucking tolerate anymore. And when I was still in those moments, like I was still putting up with those behaviors. And now I'm like, okay, that's the boundary that I let someone cross time and time again. And I let someone, I don't want to say brainwash, because brainwash seems a little bit too extreme, but I let someone manipulate me into believing that my particular brand of energy work and magic was extremely dangerous and that I shouldn't be trusted with people. And that was something that I needed to work through, especially, you know, the first couple of months after everything went down. And now I'm like, fuck it. I'm like,
Yeah, I have about that particular type of energy work. I'm coming at it from a different perspective. I feel that right. We had this agreement to, you were going to be the trigger to allow me to accelerate. And I think that some of the people, one of the things that I did take issue with is nobody ever asked for my version of the story, right? There was right. a lot of talk going on about what happened and nobody ever asked me what happened. Mm-hmm. And the only real issue I have is there were some things that were said about me that weren't true. That, you know, like right. I was getting extra help, all these things. I wasn't. They did help me get to a place where I could get some homeopathic remedies to get home, right. But that was the extent of it. And I remember checking in with them one night somewhere when I was on the road home. And I remember saying, my question was something like, was this supposed to happen? Like, I knew I was coming at it from this, like, this was supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen this way. And I got laughed at and almost like dismissed. And I thought, that's really an interesting response. Cause I feel like, and especially now looking back, this is absolutely, I am able to step into who I am. And actually the, mm-hmm. one of the biggest things that came away that I came back with is this profound understanding that the doubt that we humans carry about ourselves is a colossal waste of time. We spend right. so much time, effort, energy, doubting our abilities, doubting who we are, doubting blah, blah, blah. And it's just nonsense. It's all nonsense. So that was a huge awareness that I came back with. I also have these amazing abilities to travel and inward and different consciousness, different universes, different dimensions, different, whatever label you want to put on it. I have this ability now that helps me in the work that I do. It helps me in the way that I help my clients, the way that I serve right. my clients. So I wouldn't change any of it for anything. I mean, except for the getting in the car. And I know that people will say, well, we said that she should call her husband. And I remember that. And I said, no, because I actually didn't understand how dangerous it mm-hmm. was for me to get behind the car and behind the wheel and get in the car and drive home. And in retrospect, that would be the right. only thing I would change. I would have Jeff come out and we'd drive back together and it would, oh man, that'd be a trip. I could tell him all these stories. I could right. explain this to him. So,
yeah. I remember checking in with you, like when you started your drive, being like, hey, this is probably going to be super fucking difficult. Like, I remember sending you a message being like, hey, take your time. Like, if you need to pull over, like, don't stress yourself out. And I think one of the things I messaged you that very first day that you were driving home was, please remember your bridge. Like, that was my yes. big thing. I was like, please remember your bridge because you're going to need it. And I remember you messaging me and saying, yep, I'm going to remember my bridge and I'm going to remember to scrub toilets. And I don't like oh, yeah. when you said you were going to remember to scrub toilets, I was like, what the fuck does that have to do with the bridge? But like, if that's going to help you, that's going to help you. And I remember like periodically, like when I was eating lunch, when I was going through things and all that stuff, I remember periodically texting you and being like, okay, how was the drive? What's going on? And things like that. And I think when you messaged me, you're like, I hit a curb today. And I was like, yeah. oh, like that's not good.
No,
but that doesn't sound terrible. Like, and so you're like telling me these things about your drive home. And I was like, it sounds like she's having a really easy drive home. And I was like, this is not what I expected. And then afterwards, like when we hopped on Zoom and you talked about it, I was like, oh no, like you fucking sugarcoated that shit because you I were know. Like
still in Lala, right? And even when I was communicating.
It felt like one of the things that was going on was you, like when you talk about doubt being the thing that like gets us, like it was like, I don't want people doubting the fact that I can do this was kind of the way that it felt to me where you're like, I can fucking do it. And then
that might have been true. I think it was more of I really was not in my body, like, and I didn't mm-hmm. understand that. And I didn't understand that you actually have to be pretty much in the body to operate the body, especially behind a wheel on going on right. the interstate, going 75 miles an hour. I do remember the drive like my nervous system was so overloaded. I remember calling my husband at one point crying. I said, you got to find me a hotel. I cannot tolerate this one second more. And it's just the nervous system was, had been elevated on fire for days now, and it needed to find a way to come back. And I didn't understand that at the time. And I was just, I did learn that when you're driving on the interstate, you can dance in your seat to keep your eyes, keep yourself focused. I would sing every song that I could to keep myself focused on there. It was just, it was hellacious. And I, that was, I was glad to get home.
Yeah. I mean, I can totally understand that. Like one of the things, so I kind of want to like that, I think encapsulates like the acceleration experience. Like, I think sometimes we experience accelerations and we're like, okay, yeah, cool. No, no biggie. And then we experience them and we're like, what the fuck just happened? Like, and then it takes us months and time to process. Cause I remember all of the shit went down where I was taken off all of the like community things and let go as a contractor, and kind of like, I don't want to say I was kicked out of the community because I was still part of the community at that point, but I felt very outside of things. And I was like, I need to make sure that I just give myself space. I need to make sure that people have their space. And I remember drafting like a fucking essay to you and sending it to you on Facebook Messenger, apologizing for everything. And I remember doing it for the rest of the other participants and like really like taking accountability of everything that had happened. And I remember your message back to me was, why are you saying sorry? And you being like, don't say sorry because I don't regret it. Like, I remember that being your message to me. And I was like, okay, cool. So I can still like, and in my head, I was like, I can still talk to Mitzi. I was like, Mitzi and I are still good.
Yeah.
And I remember like, as I was leaving that community, like the amount of people that I felt comfortable talking with, like narrowed down to three. And that was really, really intense. And that was kind of like, as part of the journey, that was hard. But so you went through the acceleration, and I know you stayed in that community for a little while longer. Like when you stayed, did that help you integrate everything you learned? Or was it like kind of like also trying to contextualize and things? Or was it just kind of like, I just feel like I need to be here?
I actually didn't get anything out of the community. I only stayed because I wanted my certification. I came home and this light language thing had, this is something that the way that my practicum clients lined up, it's like they just fell into my lap and I had it all done in 2 weeks. It was the most amazing thing. Like I loved it. It helped me understand. I love doing in-person sessions. I love, and the light language came to be a part of my process and my practice now. So I actually felt a little ostracized because it almost felt like people were afraid to interact with me or, you know, the people that had been there in that container. The majority of the other people didn't really know who I was, that I was the one that experienced this. But I felt like they were treating me with kid gloves. I also felt that nobody could really see me anymore. Like I had gone to this level. And I don't mean that to sound pompous or arrogant or any of that. That's not what I mean. I just felt like that. What I mean by that is I felt like I had expanded to this level and to a degree and nobody could really meet me there. And so that felt very isolating for me. I didn't interact with anybody in the community. I just was basically biding my time. And I thought we had been given a deadline of end of October and then the practicums would be, you know, we would get our certification. Shit, that didn't happen till March. So I'm hanging around. I'm not active. I wasn't active in there or any of that. I mean, I sincerely feel that my agreement was to get to that event, experience this. You were a part of that. And my, and it's like, I'm done. I don't. It's been a process. My processing on the back end has taken some time. I, like I said before, my hormones did get jacked up. I did have some insight on, or guidance, if you will, knowing around the message was more or less this: the way that it happened was a little harder on the human body than was intended, and that's right. unfortunate. But basically, this is where we're at now. So, yeah, I'm working on unwinding all of that. And I do feel a little bit like the people who were in charge of that sort of left me hanging out to dry. I do know that that's not the message that was being sent. The message was I was being taken care of, and that's actually not true at all. And I feel right. like, I mean, this might be naive of me, right? But I remember thinking, wow, I just experienced this cool thing. Don't right. people want to hear about it? Doesn't anybody want to know what I experienced? Mm-hmm. And there was just like crickets. So I actually feel that they probably were hands off because they were afraid I would sue them because mm-hmm. of potential harm. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm going to do. And also, if you understand that I come from the perspective that this was an agreed upon right. situation for me to experience, then I'm embracing it. So I do feel like I was ostracized and hung out to dry a little bit, or just hands off kind of approach. And that was hard on top. That was, I actually, the first month, 3 to 4 mm-hmm. weeks, it was really hard for me to human. It was really hard for me to get grounded. And it took, I'd say that I was not fully back in my body for at least 2 weeks after that event. Mm-hmm. And I know that that causes stress on the body. I know all of those, there are consequences to that. But then I would have strange dreams about, because I was trying, like things were happening on the level outside of my conscious awareness, mm-hmm. but I would see glimpses of it in the dream state, knowing that things are being put back into place. So,
right.
Yeah. That's kind of my experience of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing too is, and I'm super excited to see where your business has gone and how things have shifted and changed for you, because I think it's amazing to see the level of success you're having. I think it's amazing to see the awarenesses you're doing and like how you're, I don't want to say you're more authentically you, but I also want to say you're more authentically you. One of the things too is like when all of that happened, I knew it needed to happen because like, on some level, I was having doubts about that particular community. And I was like, I know eventually these doubts are going to come to a head and something's going to happen. And I'm going to realize that I needed to leave. Right. And so when everything happened and then, you know, unfolded the way it did, and I realized, oh, fuck, this really isn't the place for me. I think that experience for both of us allowed us to step more authentically into who we are and understand like how we truly wanted to show up for people. Right. Because I'm realizing that like, and my whole theme this month for my business is back to basics. Like I stepped away from all of my deity work. I stepped away from all of my candle magic. I stepped away from all of my like fun little witchy practices. I stepped away from like doing tarot and archetype work and deity work and all of this stuff that like was the thing that got me to that particular container to start with. And now I'm sitting back. It's been 11 months. I've redone my website like 6 times. rebranded a couple of times, and now here I am in August. You know, what's today's date? Oh, you know,
the 9th.
About, today's the 9th. I can't do math. 20, so that would be 11, 14 days from my solar return, I think, if that math's right. So the 25th, 14 days from my solar return, almost a complete year after the event. And I'm realizing, oh, hey, Maybe I'm not the person who's running sessions. Maybe I'm the person who's going to be channeling some fucking decks and doing some deity work and teaching people some ritualistic stuff. And that feels so fucking freeing to get back to. And so am I going to redo my website again for the gazillionth time? Absolutely. But I'm also super excited because I've had more ideas for decks drop in. So I'm going to finish this deck this month. Get that released. And then over the next course of the year, I'm going to be building a mythological tarot deck with like the images of all of the like deities and archetypes and things like that on the cards without actually presenting like the imagery of those gods, goddesses, archetypes, and things like that. Because one of the things that I'm seeing is it's really important for people to connect with those energies without the projections that we have from mythology, without all of that stuff, and just connecting to that energy. And I love channeling messages. Like, it's so much fucking fun. And so I don't know that I would be here if that event didn't happen, because as much as it was an acceleration for you, it was one for me too, because it showed me where I had been hiding as a practitioner. It showed me where I had been dimming so hard. And you and I had a conversation about that after everything went down, where I was like, you were like, Kelly, did you ever realize how people talk to you? Like, did you realize the way that people treated you? Did you realize how you like minimized yourself to fit in? And I remember looking at you and being like, nope, not at all. Right. And now I can look at it and be like, oh shit. Right. And like step back and evaluate that. So I want to thank you so much for sharing your story, because I know we've talked about it a lot of times, but I don't know that we've ever talked about it that way.
Yeah. And everything that you're saying is beautiful, because actually we are allowed to pivot anytime it feels right to pivot. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence or a result of my going through that, you're right when you say I'm more authentically me, because I needed to have that experience to access more of me. And I am much more confident. I'm much more sure of who I am, what I'm here to do. My business has grown. I'm just developing two programs right now that I'm getting ready to launch. That, I mean, a year ago, that was the last thing in my head. Mm-hmm. I was just working on sessions, and this just feels right. So, and I appreciate the invitation to talk about this. Nobody has asked me my side of the story before. Right. And it's actually sort of freeing. And to be able to say it all out loud, to be able to sit in this today, looking back and looking at all the growth that has happened because of that. But I still maintain the position that this was meant to happen. This was right. Part of my, in this lifetime, I was going to experience this, and it sets me up for all the other experiences that are coming. So I'm super grateful. I'm super grateful for it. And you know, like we talked about, when I got what I needed and I was time to move on, you were going through some other things that you had to still process, and yours was different from mine, but they were both connected in that nexus at that moment.
Oh, absolutely. Like I've learned so much about myself. I've learned so much about how important it is for me to actually talk about trauma instead of just bypassing it. And I don't know if you've seen any of my stuff lately, but I've been calling like traditional metaphysical communities the metaphysical industrial complex, because that's what it feels like to me. Because one of the things that I've noticed, and I think the Teal Swan documentary pointed this out, and it's something that a lot of people who are in these particular communities are starting to see, is that there's a lot of preying on people who are desperate for healing, for solutions and things like that, without truly addressing where they're at. And I know that as you do your stuff, like with your fractal consciousness, with your particular way of healing, because of your experiences with your traumas, you handle it very differently than, let's say, the average Joe Schmo Reiki practitioner.
Yes.
And so it's super amazing. So tell me a little bit about these programs that you're launching.
Well, they started out as one, and it sort of diverged into two. So one of them is for people who are newly on their awakening journey, or have are more focused on healing, maybe physical issues. And what we do, I'm speaking to your point that you just said, my approach is I want everyone to see, embody, know, intimately know all of who they are. So that includes the soul connection, the part of them that's bigger than the human sitting right here on planet Earth. There's so much more. So this program helps people deal with the fears that are getting in the way, helps them embrace their uncover their authentic self, and then deepen that connection with their soul. And then the other program is geared more towards the psychics, mediums, the healers, the people who do this for a living. But it's not a modality. It's again, helping them heal. It's helping them, what's stopping them back from fully embracing themselves, releasing the fear, knowing who they are, and then helping them rise, helping them step into their power so that they can be all that they are. And so your comments about it's done differently, I agree with. And my perspective is, man, we are so much more than what we've been led to believe. And when we strip away the traumas that we cycle in, or the victimhood, or the conditioning, and the stories that we tell ourselves, or the beliefs that we hold that are not actually ours, we open up so much possibility. And that's what I'm passionate about, is helping people shine everything that they are.
I love that so much. So when are they launching?
I am actively taking clients now. I do like an interview process to see if they're a right fit for it. And so if anybody's interested.
So it's like open enrollment, apply, accepted, go through the interview process, and then kick ass.
It's a 12-week program working one-on-one with me. So
that's fucking fantastic. I'm so excited. Like this entire conversation, I've had like fucking goosebumps and chills the entire time.
Me too.
But I'm like so excited for this, because I think it's going to be so cool to see all of the things, all of the changes, and all of the empowerment that people get. And I am super excited to like witness things shift, witness the way that metaphysical healing and spirituality is shifting out of this kind of old paradigm. And I think we're seeing that on a very large scale. We're seeing people who fall into the traditional paradigm coming after people and blaming them for, you know, their experiences and how they talk about things, right? We're seeing old healers like kind of hold on really tightly to these narratives about what it means to be a healer. Like I had a moment the other day where I was scrolling through my Facebook feed, and I saw a post that was talking about how, you know, a lot of healers are, you know, being like attacked and things like that. And I was like, are they? I was like, are they? I was like, I've been running my business pretty steadily for the last 11 months. What attacks? I'm like, yeah. I'm not seeing it.
I think it depends on your individual perspective, and that's something that you can buy into. And then yes, it's true for you, right? As long as you buy into it. But I totally agree. There's this big shift happening, and some people are very married, invested into their particular perspective. And the thing that I've learned is that if you give yourself the grace and the space to experience new things, that's how we grow. That's how we evolve. Right. And it can be true for you in this moment. Is it going to be true for you 6 months from now? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's okay to let go of that one and see what else is out there as you continue to evolve and integrate these things, and then move forward and see what you want to explore next.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Mitzi, I feel like we've been on this for like almost like an hour, 2 hours ish. But so I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I know that, and I kind of want to start to end on this thought. I know that coming forward and sharing something so vulnerable can be extremely fucking difficult, especially when you are leaving communities that make you feel like an outsider, that make you feel like speaking out and telling your stories is going to get you labeled or attacked or things like that. And I truly want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on here, because I know I shared my story on TikTok, and I've shared my perspective, and I've left quite a few parts out and all of that stuff. But I think it's super important that those of us who have left communities that have this kind of toxic leadership and have these kind of like, I don't want to call it culty, but it is culty, like these kind of culty perspectives in this way of holding on to people. I think it's really important that those of us who have left groups like that come forward and share our stories and like talk about other modalities and acknowledge that leaving that takes a whole hell of a lot of strength. Telling your story takes a whole lot of vulnerability. And by telling your story, you open up so much healing for other people, whether that be just telling the story of your healing journey, of your acceleration, of all of the bullshit that you've ever been through. Like, I think it's so powerful. And so I want to thank you so much for jumping on this very first episode of season 3 of the revamped and I wanted to say reimagined, but it's not really reimagined, but like this reimagined version of my podcast, because one of the things, and as I'm wrapping up my thoughts, is one of the things that I really want to do now is make sure that people's stories are out there and that people have a voice and they feel heard and empowered to share and they feel safe to come forward and talk about what their experience has been, whether it be in the community that we were in or any other type of community, because things are shifting. Like we said, like healing is shifting, the journeys are shifting and all of that stuff. So I'm going to put this call out here right now. If you guys have a story as you guys are listening to this and you feel like it's really important that you share your story, please shoot me an email, a DM, or whatever to reach out, because I would love to have you on here, because I think healing or stories have the most healing power in the world. And the more we share, the more we're heard, the more we actually start to make a difference.
Awesome. I'm so honored that you invited me on here. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my side. I'm very appreciative. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So with that, we're going to end it all here. Just a reminder, you can find Mitzi at MitziDenise.com. Her website is Healing Alchemy. Her Facebook page is Healing Alchemy.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you can find Mitzi at Healing Alchemy or MitziDenise.com. I'll throw that in the fun little description. For me, you guys, by at this point, you probably have it memorized, but if you don't, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram, at Healing with Kelly Lorraine. And my website is in the process of having a URL change because I haven't bought a new domain yet, but it's going to be, my website is Healing by Kelly Lorraine, but we're going to be rebranding and all of that stuff. And as a reminder, Mitzi takes sessions. I take sessions. I do channeled art. Mitzi does light language art. So if you guys want any of that stuff, go ahead and jump on our websites and dig in. We're super excited to start supporting you guys on your journey.